ஜெயதோப்பி ஜன்மவா கிரிவாரதாரி யசோரானந்த கஜஜனரஞ்சன யசோரானந்த கஜஜனரஞ்சன யமுனதீரவனசாரி யமுனதீரவனசாரி ஜய ரதமாதவ குஞ்ச விஹாரி யசோரானந்தன யசோரானந்தன கஜஜனரஞ்சன யமுனதீரவனசாரி யமுனதீரவனசாரி ஜய ரதமாதவ குஞ்ச விஹாரி ஜய ரதமாதவ ஜய ரூபி ஜனதாதவ கிரிவாரதாரி கிரிவாரதாரி யசோரானந்தன கஜஜனரஞ்சன யமுனதீரவனசாரி யமுனதீரவனசாரி ஜய ரதமாதவ குஞ்ச விஹாரி
விஷ்ணு பாத பரமஹம்ச பரிவ்ராஜக்கச்சாரியா ஸ்தோத்ரஸ்து ஸ்ரீ ஸ்ரீமாதே திவ்யாங்க ஸ்ரீல ஏசி பக்தி விதந்த கோஸ்வாமி மகாராஜ் ஸ்ரீல பிரபுபாத் கீ ஜாய் கோர பிரேமானந்தி ஹரி ஓம். ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, part 1, chapter 16. Text number 3.
Atapi
Udara
Shravasa
Pritur
Hare.
Atapi
Udara Shravasa Pritur
Hare.
Kalavatarasya
Katamrita
Drita.
Kalavatarasya
katam
ritadrita.
Yato padeshani
munibhi
prachodita.
Yato
padesham
munibhi prachodita.
Slagyani
karmani
Vayam
Vitannahi.
Slagyani karnani
Vayam
Vitannahi.
Atapyudara
Shravasa
Pritur
Hare.
Atapyudara
Shravasa
Pritur
Hare.
Kalavatarasya
katam
vitadrita.
Yato
padesham
munibhi prachodita.
Slagyani
karmani
vayam
vitanmahi.
Atapyudara
shravasa
pitur hare.
Kalavatarasya
katam
ritadrita.
Yato
padesham
munibhi prachodita.
Slagyani
karmani
vayam
vitannahi.
Atapyudara
shravasa
pitur hare.
Kalavatarasya
katam
ritadrita.
Yato
padesham
munibhi prachodita.
Slagyani
karmani
vayam
vitannahi.
Ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Ata api.
Nevertheless.
Udara.
Liberal.
Shravasa.
Whose fame?
Whose fame?
Prito.
Of King Prithu.
Hare.
Of Lord Vishnu.
Kala.
Part of a plenary expansion.
Avatarasya.
Incarnation.
Kata.
Words.
Amrita.
Nectarian.
Adrita.
Attentive to.
Yata.
According to.
Upadesham.
Instruction.
Munibhi.
By the great sages.
Prachoditaha.
Being encouraged.
Slakyani.
Laudable.
Karmani.
Activities.
Vayam.
We.
Vitannahi.
Shall try to spread.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Although we are unable to glorify you adequately, we nonetheless have a transcendental taste for glorifying your activities. We shall try to glorify you according to the instructions received from authoritative sages and scholars. Whatever we speak, however, is always inadequate and very insignificant. Dear King, because you are a direct incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all your activities are liberal and ever laudable.
Purport.
However expert one may be, he can never describe the glories of the Lord adequately. Nonetheless, those engaged in glorifying the activities of the Lord should try to do so as far as possible. Such an attempt will please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya has advised all his followers to go everywhere and preach the message of Lord Krishna. Since this message is essentially Bhagavad Gita, the preacher's duty is to study Bhagavad Gita as it is understood by the cyclic succession and explained by great sages and learned devotees. One should speak to the general populace in accordance with one's predecessors, sadhu, guru, and shastras. This simple process is the easiest method by which one can glorify the Lord. Devotional service, however, is the real method. For by devotional service, one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead with just a few words. Without devotional service, volumes of books cannot satisfy the Lord. Even though preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement may be unable to describe the glories of the Lord, they can nonetheless go everywhere and request people to chant Hare Krishna. So, please repeat the translation. Although we are unable to glorify you adequately, we nonetheless have a transcendental taste for glorifying your activities. We shall try to glorify you according to the instructions received from authoritative sages and scholars. Whatever we speak, however, is always inadequate and very insignificant. Dear King, because you are direct incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all your activities are liberal and ever laudable.
Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandiham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Satvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Scha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Chikatpate Gopeshi Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namos Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishvare Rishabhanu Sutta Devi Panamami Haripiye Panchakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shivasadi gaura bhaktavinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare hare.
So it's nice here, we can see that the reciters are saying that although we are unable to glorify you adequately, we nonetheless have a transcendental taste for glorifying your activities. So this is very nice that they have this taste for glorifying the activities of the Lord. And the fact of the matter is that the more we appreciate somebody, the easier it is for us to glorify them. If you know someone a little, then you can glorify them a little. But the more you get to know them personally and over a period of time associating with them, not only do you get to know them as a person, but you get to understand their past and present because you discuss these things and you're around people that know them in different ways like this. You get to understand that this person has a lot of qualities, a lot of characteristics. Oftentimes, when we see people, sometimes the first impression that we have of them by looking at them physically can be very misleading. I remember seeing devotees in the past and thinking, oh, that person looks very proud. But when you get to know them, you find actually that they're very personal, very interesting. They have many characteristics which make them unique. And in this way, you learn to appreciate them. It takes some time and it takes some reciprocation. So then in the translation is described, we shall try to glorify you according to the instructions received from the authoritative sages and scholars. So there are techniques, there are protocols that we have to follow when we are going to glorify the Vaishnavas. And these are also things that we learn in the association with devotees. Gradually we pick up these different protocols and we understand the the etiquette, how to deal with the different devotees. But they're saying that, whatever we speak is always inadequate and very insignificant. So this is our situation, in that because we are conditioned souls in this material world, we are unable to do justice to this glorifying the activities of the Lord. He is just too inconceivable, and we are just too small to be able to really be able to get a full understanding of his activities. And Prabhupada says in the purport, however expert one may be, he can never describe the glories of the Lord adequately. But those engaged in glorifying the activities of the Lord should try to do so as far as possible. So many devotees, sometimes at a certain point in our devotional lives, we may lament that we don't really know Krishna well enough to be able to glorify him. And, you know, we come to the temple every day and we see the Lord standing on the altar. And we engage in we go through the motions of offering puja and standing there for the arati and dancing. But oftentimes it can become mechanical. And we kind of don't, there's a lack of reciprocation. It appears in a certain state of our Krishna consciousness that we're not getting much reciprocation. Sometimes it can be like that, depending on how, if we are very surrendered in our service, then there may be more reciprocation. But if we surrender to a kind of plateau where we're not really surrendering anymore, then the reciprocation slows down or almost stops. So this is a common problem in the process of Krishna consciousness for many devotees. And someone once asked Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta, they asked him, why are we not feeling any closeness to the Lord? So of course the answer is something that we've always heard. Prabhupada stressed it many times. And
yet it's something that we need to keep hearing. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that if we don't associate with the devotees and the Lord, always serve them, how can we feel close? So again, it's like that. When in our lives, when we meet a person, when we have the time to be able to reciprocate with that person, as we enter into that association, the reciprocation itself begins to spark off different feelings. It generates a feeling of closeness and a feeling of belonging and a feeling of identifying with the person and a feeling of sometimes learning new things from their association, appreciating a person's personality and thinking, I wish I had that quality. And then by associating with that person, gradually understanding how one can gain that quality, changing our own personal behavior, because we see that this person is able to do something, this person is able to reciprocate in a way that I can't. I remember one time I was living in Los Angeles and we were trying to start Padyatra America. And I met this one devotee there, and he was originally from Germany, but he lived in America for some years. And you know, sometimes when you're dealing with devotees, we had a team that was trying to develop the Padyatra, and there were maybe five or six of us, and we were doing different services to try. You know, we had to get buses, and we had to kind of hire different things and get various infrastructure together to run the Padyatra. And sometimes there would be differences of opinion, and sometimes there might be some agitation or some kind of argumentation. But this devotee, he had this uncanny ability to be able to, when someone would be saying something negative, he would just laugh in a kind of very friendly way. He would pat them on the back and he'd say, Prabhu, and then he would explain something, and he was able to bring that devotee around completely so that they became neutralized. Their kind of argumentation or their, what would you say, opposition became neutralized. And I was fascinated. How is he able to do that? He has this character whereby even someone may be directing something at him, he's not taking it. Whatever criticism is directed at him is bouncing off of him. And at the same time, not only is he not accepting the criticism, he's able to kind of laugh in a very friendly way that makes you kind of endears you to him and pat you on the back and then kind of just change the whole thing around and just bring out some philosophy. So I very much appreciated this devotee for his ability to do that. So like that, we meet devotees and they have different attributes. And sometimes we see, I can become better by adopting their activities or adopting their kind of attitude. Of course, each one of us will do it in our own individual way, but in different ways we can see devotees help us to change our own way of being. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was pointing this out, associating with devotees and always serving them. This is another thing is, although we may associate with the devotees, how much do we serve them? In the last GBC meetings, there was a there's a committee called the Team Building Committee, and the idea of a Team Building Committee is to try and find ways in which members of a team can appreciate each other more and work together in a team spirit. So one thing that one activity that you can do is called the unseen friend. And so what was done was the devotees, all the different GBC's names were written on a piece of paper, and then the GBC's were called forward, and they were each given a name which was not their own name, and that person whose name they were given was to be their unseen friend, or they were to be the unseen friend of that person. And the idea was that they had to do services for that person without that person knowing who it was that was doing the services. So it was quite an interesting thing when this was done. And there was some very interesting reciprocations, because it's like, all of a sudden, for instance, you'll find, you know, some ironed piece of cloth or some service has been done for you, and like, who did that? You know, and it's you know, you're kind of, you're happy someone's done this thing for me, but who did it and why did they do it? So in this way, this was a kind of, this is an activity that which is done by groups to strengthen their team, to create bonds between the different members of the team. And of course, ultimately, the friendship is revealed. But sometimes, like little techniques like this, can be used in such a way that it actually increases our relationship. So it's not just associating, but it's actually serving and figuring out how we can serve the devotees, figuring out ways in which things that we can do that will please them. And we understand, of course, that by pleasing the devotees, one thing is that some closeness can be developed, and the other thing is that Krishna becomes pleased, because Krishna in the heart, he sees that we're doing this selfless activity and we're trying to become surrendered and develop an attitude, develop a way of being, a way of thinking which is more Krishna conscious, which is the kind of thinking, the kind of behavior that Krishna would want us to develop. So, Bhaktisiddhanta was saying that if we don't serve the devotees and associate with them, then how can we feel close? It's very difficult to feel close. And on the other side, he described that, he said, we are enchanted by false hopes. So we are heavily preoccupied with this world. So this is another problem that we have. Here we are in this world. And, when we're in the Dham and when we're serving, have some nice service in the Dham, then we're in a very good position. But oftentimes, we're living outside and we have to work outside to make our living. And then we become enchanted by false hopes. Some hope develops, you know, that yes, if I work in this way, I'll be able to achieve something. And in this way, so many kind of desires and hopes arise in our hearts, which are false. We don't recognize them as false, but they're false. And so this is because we are preoccupied. Preoccupied, that's an interesting word. Preoccupied. We have an occupation. We already are predisposed. We have some kind of... before anything else happens, we're already occupied with something. We're already thinking about something else. We're thinking about material things. And that is our priority thought, our prior thought. Before Krishna consciousness comes in, before our kind of how can we surrender in this particular circumstance kicks in, we're already occupied with hopes, false hopes of the material world. We're enchanted by these false hopes of the material world. So actually, devotees need to be preoccupied with Krishna consciousness and dealing with the material world as little as possible. You know, the material world should be the kind of, what would you say, the undesirable activities that we have to do. There are some things you have to do in the material world. We just do those to the minimum and we increase the desirable activities. So then, why is this, why are we predisposed to these material considerations and not, why are we preoccupied with material enchantment, false hopes? Well, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta explains, because we have bad judgment. Our judgment is clouded by these thoughts of the material world. Why? Because we've gone far from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We've gone far away from Krishna. We've strayed away from His association. And because of that, therefore we are plagued by this bad judgment. So then he described that one who steps in quicksand will drown very quickly. So, you know, we know this is the treacherous quicksand. I've actually never come across quicksand, but sometimes you see it in different movies. Has anyone ever experienced quicksand? Anybody here? It's interesting. Nobody's actually... it's one of those things you always hear about, but you never actually see. But, we know from descriptions that quicksand, if you step in quicksand, very quickly it sucks you in and you can't get out. You try and pull your legs out, but you can't get out, and you go deeper and deeper and deeper until eventually it swallows you up. So this material world is described to be like that quicksand, that it very quickly and very easily can swallow us up. Recently, my wife and I, we went to Europe for a few weeks, and it was a kind of a whistle-stop tour, as they say. We started off going to Amsterdam, and then we were in Spain, and then we were back in Amsterdam, and then we were in Belgium, and then back in Amsterdam, going backwards and forwards. And as we were traveling around, having lived in Mayapur for many years, you kind of get used to the association of devotees. You get used to being surrounded by devotees and devotional activities and seeing devotees with tilak and dhoti. And then suddenly you go out and travel in the West, and all of a sudden you realize how few people have Krishna consciousness, how few devotees there are in the world, how devoid the world is of Krishna consciousness. And, you know, it's like, it's very distressing to see how many people are suffering and how many people are missing this association with devotees. And it's also easy to understand how if one is immersed in that association, how these false hopes will arise, how we can become enchanted in this way and become preoccupied. It's very easy, because when everybody around you is thinking that, you know, we have to do well, we have to protect ourselves, we have to protect our families, we have to put in place so many false protections, because ultimately, what protection can we give? We are actually unable to give any kind of protection, even though we may have so many insurances and so many different kinds of protection which we're putting in place. So often we see that all of that can be swept aside. Just like, for instance, in this in Japan, there was this tsunami, you know. And many people may have had their house insurance, and they may have had their fire alarms or whatever kind of securities they were putting in place. And just within a half an hour, all of that was just washed away by a massive wave. And even the insurance companies won't pay out. You know, even you've got your insurance and you're thinking, I'm safe now, I've got my insurance. But when these acts of God come along, the insurance companies won't cover it. So, and even if they could, sometimes these insurance companies will collapse, because there's so much disasters going on that they can't handle it. So we're thinking that we can create some kind of security, that we can make arrangements to protect ourselves. And we become preoccupied. There can be a danger that it becomes a preoccupation with trying to protect ourselves, trying to make sure that we'll be okay. And we find actually that the pure devotees, they have no such false dependency. They're not thinking along lines of how can I protect myself. They understand, just as Srila Prabhupada, when he was coming on the boat to America, he was praying to the Lord. He was saying, I don't know why you're bringing me to this place. He said, but just make me dance. Make me dance as you like. So this is actually, when we can have that mentality, when we can pray to the Lord, please just make me your puppet. And please just guide me to dance as you like. Then, actually, we can be protected. Then we will be protected. Then all protection will come in so many wonderful ways. In ways which we may not necessarily understand in the beginning. Sometimes reverses come in our life, and it seems like it's going to be very negative, but then it transpires after a period of time that actually the so-called reverse put us on a better path, and it gave us realizations that we wouldn't have had if we hadn't have been put through that difficult situation. So it's very important that we should try to be open to these kinds of messages from the Lord. So Prabhupada speaks here in the purport that he says, the message is essentially Bhagavad Gita, and the preacher's duty is to study Bhagavad Gita as it is understood by the siddhic succession and explained by great sages and learned devotees. So I thought that was also very interesting that Prabhupada put this in this way. And I was thinking of Bhagavad Gita, the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, and I was thinking of one area in which sometimes we seem to be inadequate. We're not living according to these instructions, some of them. So in chapter 2, Bhagavad Gita, text 47, the translation is, you have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you're not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities, and never be attached to not doing your duty. So in the purport, Prabhupada says,
There are three considerations: prescribed duties, capricious work, and inaction. So when we're living outside in the world, what are prescribed duties? Are our prescribed duties the duties that the boss gives us? You know, are they what the company lays down, the rules of the company, are they our prescribed duties? You know, it becomes a little, like a little grey area, it becomes confusing sometimes. What is my duty? What am I supposed to do? I've got to work in this job to maintain my family, it appears. And so therefore I have to obey the rules of this company. And then Prabhupada says, capricious work means actions without the sanction of authority. And inaction means not performing one's prescribed duties. So, oftentimes, you know, that's a problem for us, that, well, what are my prescribed duties? You know, who's going to prescribe them? You go to the doctor if you're sick, and he'll prescribe you some medicine. So, who do I go to prescribe my duties? So, of course, we are fortunate in our Krishna consciousness movement that we have Guru Sadhana Shastra, and we are meant to be independently thoughtful in examining our position, examining our state of consciousness, examining our situation we find ourselves in terms of who we associate with. One of the dangers of association, if we're surrounded by people who are materialistic, then even if we try very hard not to be materialistic, that association rubs off on us. We become influenced by it very strongly. Prabhupada further describes the prescribed duties, and he says they are fitted into three subdivisions: routine work, emergency work, and desired activities. So routine work should be performed according to the scriptural injunctions, and work with results becomes the cause of bondage. So, you know, this is, again, we're getting this reminder that if we're working for fruits and we're attached to those fruits, then it becomes a source of bondage. Our Krishna consciousness, it's very difficult to be Krishna conscious in that situation. So we should act without attachment to the result. So this is these are the considerations, and it's like an amazing thing how we hear this repeatedly. And yet, because of the waves of the material energy, because of the influence of material life, because we're so surrounded by the influence of the material world, as soon as you look at the news or you go out into the world, it's very powerful, a very powerful influence, and it leads us away. We become bewildered by these false hopes. So Prabhupada is saying here that it's a simple process. And even though one may be so learned, Prabhupada describes that, without devotional service, volumes of books cannot satisfy the Lord. So, in other words, having the knowledge, having some, being able to quote verses of Krishna consciousness from our shastras is not enough if it's not coupled with devotional service. If we're not engaged in devotional service in association with the devotees, and getting that knowledge, what Prabhupada said about cultivating knowledge, by living and associating with devotees, we cultivate knowledge. So that is why the association is so important, and this is why it's stressed again and again. Association with devotees, associating with the Lord, engaging in devotional service, and in this way, very easily, we can remember the Lord, we can become more and more advanced in Krishna consciousness, and we can learn to rely more on the Lord in terms of protection, as opposed to trying to create our own systems of protection. So I'm going to leave it there. Anyone got any comments or questions?
Okay.
Okay, Bhavananda Prabhu. Yes.
Okay. I was saying independently thoughtful, and what does that mean, to be independently thoughtful? Srila Prabhupada originally instructed that. He wanted the devotees to be independently thoughtful. So it's an interesting statement, an interesting word, some interesting words there, independently thoughtful. Sometimes it's thought that to be independently thoughtful means... I remember when I first joined, you know, there often devotees would be said, "You're too independent. You know, you shouldn't be so independent." You know, it would be a chide that would be given, you know. "What is this independent devotee? You know, you should be part of the association of devotees. You shouldn't be so independent." So, you know, that was a little mixed message is coming there. On the one side, we're meant to be independently thoughtful, but we're not meant to be independent. So it's true, we're not supposed to be independent of the Lord. But at the same time, we are not meant to be just sheep that just parrot learn something from the books, and then just whatever the general devotees think is the right thing to do, that's what we do, without thinking about it. Oftentimes this is what happens when it comes to accepting a spiritual master. You know, a devotee comes to the temple, and you find a group of devotees, and that group of devotees, they're talking about their guru. "Oh, Guru Maharaj is so wonderful, he did this thing, he did that thing, and did you hear the way he spoke the other day, and oh, when he sang that, oh, it was so nice." And so you're thinking, who is this person they're talking about? So you kind of get into this whole thing, you know, who is this person, and then the guru comes, and you see the guru, and you think, well, if all these devotees think he's a great guru, it must be a great guru, I'm just going to accept him, you know? But that's not what we're meant to do, actually. Prabhupada describes very clearly that you're supposed to question the guru for a year. You're supposed to spend quality time with the person who you want to be your guru. And you're supposed to question them. And during that year, all your doubts should come out. And, you know, if you have a doubt, why did you do this? Why did you do that? Why did you say this? Why did you say that? You should get an explanation that satisfies you. And Prabhupada describes that when you're fully satisfied, and when you feel that, yes, I can surrender to this person 100%, whatever he tells me to do, I will do. When you feel that in your heart completely, then you surrender to that person. And once you surrender and take initiation, then that's it. There's no more questioning anymore. Then you just accept what Guru says. But first, you have to question. And you have to be convinced. And if you're not convinced after a year, leave it longer. But be convinced that this person can take me back to Godhead, that I can rely on this person, that I can lay my life down on the line for this person. This is what it requires. That means that we have to be independently thoughtful. We don't just accept what everyone else says about the person. And this is what's happened so many times in the past. We've accepted what other people said about somebody, and we've accepted them as a guru, and then later on we've been disappointed. So then who do we blame? You know, sometimes people blame ISKCON. You know, they say, "Oh, I was misled." You know, I remember once someone was telling me that when one of our gurus in Europe left, different devotees from different countries would react in different ways. I think I was described that the Swedish devotees, you know, you would, at a certain point, you'd say, where's that devotee? You know, he used to be here, Krishnadas. Where's he gone? You know? Whereas in the German yatra, it would be like, you know, "I was cheated!" Bang! Slam the door, and they storm off. So different devotees from different kind of national backgrounds would react differently to being let down. But, you know, ultimately, we are to blame. We are ourselves to blame. Prabhupada said, cheaters and the cheated. And I know from my own experience that when I was initiated by Jayatirtha way back, I was not independently thoughtful. He was just the guru of England, and you were just supposed to get initiated. And when they told me, "Come down and get initiated," I was like, okay. But I wasn't thinking about it. I wasn't really understanding what it means to become initiated. You know, I mean, I'd been told in the Bhakti program, but I wasn't really taking it on as my own understanding, as my own belief, as a core understanding in my own heart. And so, you know, over many years, when you see these things going on, then you begin to realize the importance of being independently thoughtful, of questioning everything and becoming and making sure by checking with Sadhu, Guru Sadhu and Shastra, by checking all three of them, not just one of them, and finding out by your own intelligence if I should follow in this way. So to be independently thoughtful means not necessarily to accept what everyone else is thinking, but to question it ourselves. Why are they thinking like that? Is it really right? Even though, you know, what is it? There's a saying that, you know, flies eat stool. You know, 50,000 flies eat stool. Does that mean that we should eat stool? You know, there's, sometimes they say 50,000 people accepted this product, therefore it must be a good product. So, you know, we have to be independent and thoughtful and understand that just because a majority of people endorse something doesn't mean that it's the right thing. We have to question it for ourselves. Every single one of us has to understand by our own reason, logic and argument, and by, especially by the association of older devotees, and by having this reciprocal relationship with senior devotees, and by serving them. I mean, it's an interesting thing. There were so many devotees in our movement who were very, very surrendered devotees, and they were doing simple menial services. And actually, they may be able to give us so much, because Krishna is not interested in the title or in a position. Krishna is interested in surrendered devotees. And if we find a surrendered devotee who is very simple and who is very, you know, doing some menial service, but they've been doing that same service for years and years, and they have a very nice attitude, and they have a very nice service attitude, there is great benefit to be had by associating with those devotees, by questioning them, by surrendering to them and rendering service to them. Krishna can act through that channel, even if the person is very insignificant. Krishna can be pleased, and we can advance very quickly in Krishna consciousness by that kind of association. So it's not necessarily that we need to find, you know, sometimes if you don't wear saffron, if you haven't got a danda, or you're not a guru, then you're not worth knowing. Sometimes people kind of seem to have that attitude that, you know, I will reserve a kind of a certain reverence to people with a danda or people who have disciples. But anyone who's not on that level is like questionable, severely questionable. But this is actually a dangerous attitude. On the one side, we have to be intelligent. You know, people will try to cheat us, so we have to be wary of that. But on the other side, we can't cut ourselves off from mercy. And we have to be open-minded and look out for those who are themselves independently thoughtful, who are not just taking the party line, but they're questioning. And ultimately, when they're satisfied that, yes, this is fully Krishna conscious, then they will obey, they will, you know, they will follow the path that the authorities have given. And in that way, will go on very nicely. But they don't do it blindly. They are prepared to really find out if this is right. Is that okay?
Can you go back to attach to the results? How does that relate to devotional service?
Well, even in devotional service, obviously we want to do the best thing for Krishna. So we really want to get a good result. And we try for that good result with all our energy. But sometimes, even though we try really hard for that good result, it doesn't come. And sometimes that can be quite bewildering. You know, why is it that because I'm doing it, you know, Sadhu says I should do this, Guru says I should do this, Shastra says I should do this, but yet the result is not coming. And Prabhupada sometimes would speak of over-endeavor. So at a certain point we need to reflect and consider, is this really wanted? Although I think it's wanted, I know that it appears to be wanted by Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, but because of the fact that the result is not coming, should I really be going down this path? Maybe I should be looking at another path. Maybe I should be seeing if I can do this in another way, or maybe what I'm looking for is actually not required now. So again, it's kind of like independently thoughtful in the sense. Right, right. That is it. Yeah, in a nutshell, that's what it is. We have to... Yeah, please. Okay. Anything else? Anybody else? Mataji?
Yeah.
Well, it boils down to sincerity. And if a person is really sincere in wanting to get the right thing, then Krishna sees that. And he gives us intelligence. I mean, Krishna actually, it's not that intelligence comes just by reading the books. It's bestowed upon us. It's bestowed upon the sincere person. So if a person is really sincere, then Krishna will send. This is the process. He actually sends the people, the right people to you, to give you the right knowledge. However, if your interest in Krishna consciousness is based on some kind of material consideration, maybe you're looking for a position, or maybe you just like, you know, the general association, then Krishna will also reciprocate in that way. He'll send you something that may be pleasing to you, but may make your path slower, you know. So a person who is intelligent is able to discern that, yes, I wasn't sincere so much. And this is an interesting thing. We can start off being insincere or less sincere, and gradually become more sincere. You know, I've seen that in my own life. I wasn't very sincere in the beginning, but as time goes by, you become more sincere. Due to the reciprocations, you know. I remember in the Brahmacharya Ashram, after the Bhagavatam class is finished, everyone goes upstairs to change in the West, and you're standing in the lockers at the Brahmacharya Ashram, and then the Brahmacharyas are talking, you know, did you hear what such and such did? God, he's such a rascal. And you hear all this prajalpa, you know, all this bad association. And I think to myself, oh, this sounds like it could be prajalpa. But because they were my friends in Krishna consciousness, it was difficult for me to extricate myself from that. You know, I should have said, I should have just walked away or whatever it was, but I didn't. I indulged. And I would go, yeah, yeah, you know, like this. So that was very bad of my Krishna consciousness. And I suffered as a result of that. But later on, I began to see that I shouldn't have done that. I should have removed myself, or I should have spoken up. So it's sincerity. We have to look in our own hearts. Are we really sincere? And we have to examine. We have to be constantly kind of reevaluating our situation, our association, and thinking, is this the best thing? And if we are sincere, then Krishna will give us the right people. And we don't need to worry. If we're sincere, things will go well. Even if there are reverses, we have to be patient. That's the other side of Krishna consciousness, is that patience is like a jewel. We have to be very patient in our Krishna consciousness. Is that okay? Okay, so then I think we have to stop now, because we have to go down for darshan. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.